Hello and welcome to Criminal Justice Knowledge. My name is Natalie Miller. I'm very pleased to welcome my guest today, Professor Doug Thompson, one of the faculty members here at Humber in the Criminal Justice Degree Program. Thank you very much for joining me today, Doug.
Great to be here, Natalie.
So today we're going to be talking about genocide, something that a lot of people think they know a lot about or have heard about. But what is genocide exactly?
Genocide, the term was only founded in 1944 by a Polish lawyer, Raphael Lemkin, who was analyzing Nazi practices in Europe at the time. And he combined geno, from the Greek word of race or tribe, with side, which is the Latin word for killing.
Interesting. Did not know that. So is it a new thing? Has it been going on before 1944, before this?
The first recorded genocide is from the Old Testament, where the Israelites completely destroy the Midianites. Basically in the time of Moses, 2nd millennium BCE, basically every single man was executed and captured all the women and children as plunder, and they were all executed afterwards if they'd ever slept with a man. Everyone else was incorporated into the Israelites. That's the first recorded genocide, the complete destruction of an entire group of people.
Wow, and that's occurred multiple times throughout history.
Thousands of times.
Thousands.
Basically, on every single continent, with every single religious group that engaged in genocide. Basically, the United Nations define genocide, this is after Lincoln's work, as you're trying to kill people of a group, and you're killing them because they belong to that group, causing serious bodily or mental harm to the members of the group, deliberately inflicting upon the group conditions of life calculated to bring about their destruction, so starvation, things like that. Imposing measures to prevent births, so you're trying to eliminate the group at that time, or transferring the children from that group to another group. So what you're trying to do is wipe out that group, whether directly physically, with guns, gas, bombs, etc., or through sterilization, starvation, things like that. And unfortunately, humans are very, very, very good at this. The Nazis, when we think of the Holocaust between 1937 and 1945, the Nazis really turned this into a modern killing machine, designing and creating camps like Auschwitz, etc., to wipe out the Jewish race. And the interesting thing at that time, 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust.
Wow.
And between 4 and 9 million others were killed, mainly Poles, but also they targeted homosexuals, anyone who was a political malcontent, etc. And then before that, you've got Holodomor, 1932. 10% of the Ukrainian population was starved to death by the Russians. So you got starvation as a weapon, and then you've got gas chambers and shootings by the Germans.
So how does that relate back to Canada? I can think of a particular genocide that happened in Canada, used different forms.
Yes, so in Canada you got the Indian Act. And here is the idea of we are going to civilize, in a way, First Nations, and that was a genocide of their culture. There wasn't any deliberate killing, but there was saying that we are going to destroy your culture through First Nations schools, and then the 60s scoop was basically we're going to destroy your culture. It's not on the level of physical killing, but it is a cultural destruction in Canada. So the worst ones we can think of, Cambodia, 25% of the population were killed. And that's not with guns. It was generally with plastic bags over your head.
Wow.
Bosnia, 1992, between 10 and 20,000 people were killed. And what they did, the Serbs, they set up rape camps. So the Serbs would rape the Bosnians, so to stop the bloodline, as it were. Rwanda, 800,000 were killed in 100 days, mainly with machetes. And the interesting thing here is that you can take Sykes and Matz as techniques of neutralization to understand how it happened. So in all these cases, you dehumanize the victim. The Nazis, the Jews were the other, the foreign, that labeled them as rats. They had to wear the yellow star. In Cambodia, they were their utter enemy, and they got children to kill their parents. Bosnia, it was easy to separate them out. In Rwanda, the Hutus called the Tutsis cockroaches, and we have to wipe out the cockroaches. Where I come from, in Zimbabwe, in 1983, between 10 and 20,000 Ndebele were killed by the government, by one single military unit. And this is an operation called Gukuruhundi. And the name in Sholo means the wind that blows away the trash.
Wow.
And they dehumanize them.
So most people would think that the ones that cause these genocides would be, they're monsters. They're not people that we can think that do good things. So is it safe to say that these individuals are monsters, or no, is there something else going on?
No, the amazing thing with the Nazis is that they were impeccable record keepers. And there was a conference in Germany during the war at Wassenaar, where a bunch of lawyers sat down and worked out how to create the Holocaust. And these were all men, lawyers, sitting around a table carefully discussing who to execute, because you wanted to execute Jews but not Germans. So how many grandparents or Jewish grandparents did you used to have in order to be exterminated? And they sat down very carefully about these diaries of SS officers and those working in the camps, who carefully detailed their lives. And these are normal people doing abnormal things.
Mm-hmm.
And what they use is a key thing of techniques of neutralization. They denied responsibility. It's not my fault. I was following orders.
Right.
It's the victim doesn't exist. You deny the injury and you deny the victim. You have to label them as subhuman, as non-human, and you are doing a good thing. And the interesting thing is, with any totalitarian state who want to achieve a greater goal of a perfect thing, then you're justified in doing anything you want. So Holodomor was justified in creating a Soviet state. The Nazi Holocaust was justified in creating a perfect Third Reich. Zimbabwe was justified by the government because they wanted to create a peaceful society. So in order to create a peaceful society, we're going to kill you. And when you look at the records and the interviews and the diaries, these are normal people. But we are able very, very, very quickly to justify killing people. We can justify stealing a cup of coffee from Starbucks. We can justify cheating in an exam. We can also, on the same level, justify wiping out thousands of people. The interesting thing in the diaries of the Nazis, originally they were sending these what were called the Einsatzgruppen, who were extermination squads behind the front lines when they invaded Poland and Russia. And there was reports written back by the senior officers saying how terrible this was because the men were suffering. Not the people they were shooting, but the soldiers themselves. They were getting traumatized, and can't we come up with a better solution? And also it's costing us too much money in bullets. So that's, we have to create a better system, and that's the gas chambers. And in Rwanda, 800,000 people killed in 100 days. And this is neighbors killing neighbors. Friends killing friends. And it doesn't take much to convince people to hate. And that's where you've got to turn around and think, what is happening when we start to justify, when we start to alienate groups to say, you are the other, you are non-human, you are subhuman. And it's a little step from there to killing them. You don't have to put a bullet in their head. You have to deny, you can deny them food, you can deny them medical care. You can alienate them in society and from power. And that goes down the road to genocide. To turn around and say, oh, it could never happen here, it's like saying, oh, I will never break the law. And you know what? This morning, you probably did.
Yep, I suspect it. Such an interesting topic and such an important topic to talk about, because we're seeing it even now, it's still occurring. But that's all the time we have for today, unfortunately. I want to thank you again very much for speaking with us today about this. And until next time, I'm Natalie Miller, and this has been Criminal Justice Knowledge.